Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get half gallons of delicious Kroger milk for $1.29 each. Then get flavorful Tyson Natural Boneless Chicken Breasts for $2.49 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Warning, real life, real crime, the podcast should be for listeners that are 18 years of older, as each episode may contain strong adult language and descriptions of acts of violence or of a sexual nature that were told to me by the victims of the crimes or the criminals who perpetrated the crimes against the victim. Hello, everybody, and welcome to our first ever bonus episode for patron members. I'm Woody Overton, your host of Real Life, Real Crime, the podcast. First of all, I want to thank y'all for being patron members. It's awesome. It allows us some financial freedom to grow this podcast and offer more merchandise and stuff like that. But your support's invaluable, and we love you and we appreciate you, and just want to let you know that. So I hope you enjoy this episode, but I want to warn you, even beyond my regular warning, this is a tough one to hear, y'all. I mean, it's graphic, but I'm not describing anything that I didn't see with my own eyes and that didn't happen. So let's get started. In 2004, I was working as a detective for the Livingston Parish Sheriff's Office when I received a call of a 10-7 white female, 17 years old, south of Denham Springs, Louisiana. Now, 10-7 is a dead body, a radio term or cop jargon for a dead body. And I was requested to come on scene to investigate it because it was under suspicious circumstances. And I arrive, and there's already family members there, and uniformed deputy was there, and the Acadian ambulance was there. And I get there, and the uniformed deputy came up and told me, he said, look, 17-year-old white female, 9 months pregnant, dead on the floor in the bedroom. So I'm like, oh shit, here we go, right? I asked him, I said, did you see anything? He said, no, man. He said, I did what you trained me to do. I went in, and it was obvious that she's dead. She didn't have a pulse. We just backed out, and I've secured it since. He said the family's here. They're extremely upset, naturally. So I went ahead and told him to call for the coroner and get him en route. I went towards the residence and was stopped by the family members. The mom was in hysterics, and the dad's trying to calm her down, and the mom's saying, she's dead, she's dead. She wouldn't answer the phone, and she's dead. I stopped and said, ma'am, I'm so, so, so sorry for your loss. I said, but if you can, just give me a few minutes. I need to go in and look at things, and I'll come back, and I'll talk to y'all. So I made entry into the residence, and I followed the deputy in, and he took me back. It's a nice home. 2-story home on a private lot, no neighbors around. And the deputy brought me back into a downstairs bedroom. And he said, what happened was She's 17 and she's pregnant, and she's pregnant from her high school sweetheart boyfriend. She's a senior this year, but she had to stay home now because she's so pregnant, 9 months pregnant. She's on bed rest, and he is a senior also, and he's at school today, and they were getting married. The family's very, very Christian, and there was no way they were going to have an abortion. And they're getting married, and they saw her and talked to her this morning. She was doing fine, and they left and went to school, and the mom called around 10 o'clock, and she didn't answer, just to check on her. The mom called to check on her because she's on bed rest. And so she called again, and she didn't answer, and so she came home to check on her, and she found her on the floor in between the bed and the wall, obviously dead, and she called 911. He said, you know, I got here and got the mom out of the house, et cetera. So we walk into the bedroom, and it's a double bed, a small bedroom, and I couldn't see her, right? As you walk into the room, the bed is on the middle wall to your left-hand side, and there's a walkway to the left, which goes to an ensuite bathroom. And then there's a window on the opposite side of the bed, and there was a space in between the bed and that window. And there was a dresser on to my right-hand side at the foot of the bed. And the room had a ceiling fan with a light. And so I walk in, and I look around the corner of the bed, and there's this girl, young girl, and she's way pregnant, right? I mean, just when they said 9 months, I mean, she must have been due to deliver any day because she was extremely pregnant. But I didn't touch her yet. I just was looking over to see if there were any obvious signs of bullet wounds or stab wounds or anything like that. And I didn't see it. I didn't see any blood. There was no blood on the floor. There was no blood on the bed. Nothing that said there was any type of struggle, but that didn't mean anything, right? I mean, she could have been choked to death, or they could have smothered her or whatever. So I let her stay and called out Louisiana State Police Crime Lab, and they came and photographed the scene, and the coroner showed up. And after Louisiana State Police got done processing the scene, we put her in a body bag. And like I said, she was just, our stomach was just super, super pregnant. And we sealed her in a body bag and locked the tag on it. And while this is going on, while the state police were processing the crime scene, I talked to the family. And that by this time, the young man, the father of the baby, had arrived on scene, and he's extremely distraught. But I talked to the family members, and I interviewed them, and they said that, you know, she was home, she was on bed rest, and like I said, they had talked to her that morning, she was feeling fine, there was absolutely nothing wrong. And so I'm already going through suspects, right? And I got the father, the boy, to the side, and I asked him, I said, when's the last time you saw her? And he said, I saw her this morning before school. I kissed her and told her I loved her, and she kissed me back. And he said, I walked out, and I said, you haven't been back since. He said, no. I said, y'all didn't argue or anything? He said, no, we didn't. And he said, I mean, she told me she loved me. And I left. I said, so when you left here, where did you go? He said, I went straight to school. I said, did you stay at school the entire time until they came and notified you? He said, yes, I did not leave. And so I talked to the parents, and like I said, they're very, very upset. And they again explained the relationship between the boy and the girl, and that they were getting married, and they were going to raise the baby, and the family was going to help them raise the baby. Real loving Christian family. And they're super, super distraught, naturally. And so I went to the residence. I checked the doors and windows. And even though the family said they didn't lock them, I mean, they lived in the country, they never had any problems. But I checked just to see if there was any type of forced entry anywhere or anything. I couldn't find anything wrong. Plus, the crime lab processed for prints, et cetera. And finally, after everything was done, we, like I said, put her in the body bag and wheeled her out. And she was sent to the place where we do all of our autopsies, which is what Shout out to AstroPro for sponsoring this episode and providing us with free samples.
My allergies are throwing my whole morning off. Do I sound different to you?
I love it. You sound like, it's that time of year there, bro.
I sound different to me. I feel like I'm in a submarine.
Yeah, well, have you tried AstroPro? It's faster, bro. Oh. Right? AstroPro is the first of its kind nasal allergy spray. It is the fastest 24-hour over-the-counter allergy spray. It starts working in 30 minutes, while other allergy sprays take hours. AstroPro is the first and only 24-hour steroid-free allergy spray. AstroPro delivers full prescription strength, indoor and outdoor allergy relief from nasal congestion, runny and itchy nose, and sneezing. Hey, I use this, and you should too, Jim. Last weekend, I planted my garden, and it's that time of the year, and my allergies really kicked up with it, right? I use AstroPro every time my nasal allergies flare up, and I'm always amazed at how fast I'm back in the game, down on those rows, playing my stuff.
Get fast-acting nasal allergy symptom relief with AstroPro. Go to AstroProAllergy.com for a discount so you can AstroPro and go today. AstroProAllergy.com. It's faster, bro. Uses directed for relief of nasal congestion, runny nose, sneezing, and itchy nose due to allergies.
AstroPro and go.
Hey, y'all. My wife's biggest struggle this past year was fighting the symptoms associated with menopause. Hot flashes, mild mood swings, and sleeplessness. She had them all until she tried Hormone Harmony. She was amazed at how much Hormone Harmony reduced her symptoms and supported her mood and her general well-being. Hormone Harmony is not just a supplement for women going through perimenopause, menopause, or postmenopause. It's become a phenomenon. Women cannot stop talking about it on social media. A bottle of Hormone Harmony is sold every 24 seconds. Hormone Harmony contains science-backed herbal extracts called adaptogens. Now, here's the beauty about adaptogens. They help the body adapt to any stressors, like chaotic hormonal changes that happen naturally throughout a woman's life. So Hormone Harmony isn't just for menopause. Any woman with symptoms of hormonal imbalances can take it, but it's perfect for those horrible menopause symptoms that put a woman's life on hold. Hot flashes and night sweats, racing thoughts and low moods, poor sleep and feeling tired all the time, occasional bloating and gas, no desire to be in bed next to someone, if you know what I mean. Yeah, Hormone Harmony can help with all of these things. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code RLRC at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code RLRC for 15% off today.
Place called Seal, S-E-A-L-E, Funeral Home in Denham Springs. Back then it was. The autopsies were done in a building back behind the main funeral home where the crematorium was housed. And they also had the coolers for the bodies, but they had a separate room. Just for autopsies. That was separate from where they prepare the other regular bodies for funerals, where they did the embalming and all that. But there was a separate room strictly for autopsies. But the autopsies was set for the next day because the doctor that does them also did them for all of Baton Rouge and some other surrounding areas, and he needed to be scheduled. And, y'all, I'm not going to give the name of the doctor, the pathologist that did all these autopsies for us back then, only out of respect for the man. He probably was the most intelligent person I've ever met in my entire life, but he was an old man at the time, and he had done thousands of autopsies through his career. And not only was he a forensic pathologist and a MD, medical doctor, he also held law degrees and all kinds of other degrees, just a genius. And if I ever was going to go back then, it would have been Make Me a Millionaire, whatever that show was, where you get to phone a friend. This guy would have been my guy to call to ask, because he knew everything about everything, right? And he had his wife that would come with him to the autopsies, and she had a beginning of Alzheimer's, and she was a retired nurse. And anyway, I'm not going to say it because a lot of things when I go into the episodes and I talk about the autopsies, a lot of it is just hard to hear, and some of it's really vulgar, and I don't want to disrespect him. I'm going to tell everything that happened, but I don't want to disrespect him or have people get mad at him or anything like that for some of his thoughts and things that he said. But he was damn good and a genius, period. So that being said, the autopsy was scheduled the next morning. I arrive, we get to the building, and the doc shows up with his wife, and she sometimes would sit in the room for the autopsy, and sometimes she would sit out in the foyer on the couch. But he would arrive, and you go in through the double doors. There's a little front sitting room, and then the first door on the left goes into where the crematorium was. Then you continue straight. It's a narrow hallway, and on the right hand side there was a bathroom, and then once you get past that section there's a wall where the body coolers are. I think they had six of them total, stacked three on top of three. And then just past that to the right were two sets of embalming tables where they did the regular bodies and prepared them for funerals. And it's tile floors from that point back. And then there was a doorway to the left, which went into the autopsy room. So we get there, we go in. They already have the body bag on the table. And of course, like I told you, it's sealed and locked with an evidence number, and that's photographed at the scene. And the first thing we do is a doc suits up in his scrubs, and we go in and we make sure the tag matches from the day before, and we take a photograph of it to maintain the chain of custody of evidence. And then he cuts the lock and opens the body bag and photographs, removes the girl's clothing. She had on pajamas. I forgot to mention that. She had on pajama bottoms and top. And the first thing they do is they strip you naked. And the doc's looking down at her. And with me is Assistant Coroner Joe Harrell. Now, I'm going to tell you about Joe Harrell. Great guy. And he's a good old country boy from Livingston Parish. And he always wore his white cowboy hat. And he's a good Christian guy, really didn't curse or anything. I mean, but he was very intelligent and very good at what he did. We worked so many death scenes together over the years. And so anyway, Joe and I are good friends. And we're standing there watching the doc start to do his thing. And the doc's walking around taking pictures of the body, the naked body. And he stops. Now, remember, let me describe him better for you. He's a little short, old, bald-headed man with glasses, and he would put on his scrubs, and by the time, or at least halfway through every autopsy, his pants would fall down, his scrub pants, and he'd be there in his underwear, and he's standing there with his pants around his ankles, and it never bothered him, right? I mean, he's one of those people that is so smart. I think his social skills were just almost non-existent. He just operated on a brain level that was much above us, and he didn't really give a damn what anyone thought about what he said and what he did. But like, it doesn't take away from the fact he's the best I ever worked with. Anyway, so he's in his scrubs, he's walking around, he's photographing the body, and he hasn't said anything yet. And Joe and I are just standing there kind of watching, being quiet. And he stops and he looks up and he said, and I'll never forget it, and this is graphic, y'all, but he said, "Y'all eat pussy in Livingston Parish?" And that's like the last thing I ever expected this old man to say, right? This doctor, lawyer, lifelong forensic pathologist. And he's looking at us and he's dead serious. And it shocked the shit out of me. I didn't know what to say. And Joe was like, and he said, "No." He said, "I need to know if y'all eat pussy in Livingston Parish." Now, the doc's wife was in the room, the lady that has the beginning of Alzheimer's, the retired nurse. And I was like, "Doc, I don't know what you want me to say." He said, "Do you perform cunnilings on this side of the river in Livingston Parish? Do y'all eat pussy?" And I said, "Holy shit, Doc." I said, "Is this a trick question?" I said, "I mean," and Joe was just stuttering. He was going, "Oh," and I was like, "Doc, I mean," I said, "you know, yeah, sure we do, right?" And And he said, well, there's a reason I'm asking you this, Woody. And I said, I would love to hear it. He said, when a woman is pregnant, at a certain stage in the pregnancy, if a man is performing cunnilings on her, he quit using the P word, man is performing cunnilings on her and blows air into the vagina. He said, and if the air gets in between whatever and whatever, he said, it'll kill the female instantly. And he said, that's why pregnant women don't get in jacuzzis, he said, in case that air gets jetted in there by accident and that space, he said, it'll kill them instantly. And I was like, holy shit. I mean, he was always coming up with some fact of knowledge that I had no idea about. And poor Joe Harold, he was red as a beet and he didn't know what to say. And I said, well, Doc, I really appreciate you sharing that information with me, right? So, and then he gets to work. Now, let me tell you about an autopsy. Absolutely the most invasive thing that could ever be done to a human being, whether dead or alive or whatever. I don't care if I get murdered and you know it's a murder or whatever. I don't care if they never solve the murder because I don't want an autopsy done to me. But, you know, I've been to hundreds of them and they're just, it's just bad, but it is a necessary evil. So the first thing he does after he photographs the body and has the weight, and which is done on the table. The table has a scale built in and takes measurements, etc. He gets out a handheld bone saw, which is he can hold it in one hand and has a round blade on the top. Now, you turn it on and you can hear that it's on, but it won't cut unless it touches something. So the blade doesn't spin freely. But he starts at the head on the scalp line and takes that bone saw, and it, shit, it's worse than, much worse than hearing the dentist drilling. And it's as he digging in to the skull, and he makes the circle all the way around the skull. Now, not only is it, let me back up. Before the saw, he takes the...
Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more health issues with the dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to improve any dog's health. What she discovered is that the way many dog foods are made can actually create toxins that could be wrecking our dog's health. And this is true for many premium brands. Fortunately, she found that just by adding a few special superfoods to her dog's food, she saw huge transformations in their health. She's made a 20-minute video explaining step-by-step how anyone can do this same thing to see incredible changes in their dog's health. Now, my dog, Phoebe, is the queen of our house, and I can tell you that her health is extremely important to us. She is a part of our family. I watched the video, y'all, and I was amazed by the things I didn't know that could impact your dog's health. This 20-minute video is packed full of tips that I've already started with my dog, Phoebe. I'm noticing more energy, healthier skin and coat. If you want to keep your dog healthy and happy, go to badlandsfood.com/RLRC and watch Catherine's video right now. Again, that's badlandsfood.com/RLRC.
Save big money when you start your next project today at Menards. Convert your current recessed lighting with energy-saving LED downlights from Fight Electric. They're bright and install easily in just minutes. They also go from regular lighting to nightlight mode with just a simple flip of a switch. Save big on all Fight lighting products now at Menards. Shop our lighting options today in-store and on Menards.com.
Save big money at
Scalpel, and he rings the face and does a cut behind the ear lines, cut on the back of the head, and literally pulls the whole face off and then puts it down on the chest where it's still connected at the neck, but it's literally scalps, takes the whole face off and scalps it down. And that's the first part that's unbelievable, right? That they could peel your face off like that. And then the skull is exposed, and then he begins his sawing. And it goes, the noise is just unimaginable. But as he's doing the sawing, y'all, it throws up bone dust in the air. And we're standing in this small room. And it throws, I mean, the saw is cutting bone. It's literally grinding through the skull. And he makes the loop all the way around the skull to the back until he's done. And this time there's a discernible amount of bone dust in the air. And it has a taste, like a burning smell to it when he's doing it. And, I mean, it's just unavoidable. It's part of an autopsy. But then he takes a screwdriver and a hammer, and he taps the screwdriver into the crack on the skull where he's done the sawing through the bone, and he taps it in and pushes down with pressure, and it goes, literally, it pops. The skull pops off. When the suction breaks, it makes a popping noise, just like that. And there, he takes it off, and the brain's exposed. And then he cuts out the brain, takes it out, weighs it, looks for anything abnormal, and, you know, takes a slide, a section off of it or whatever. And then he goes down and makes a cut from the neck all the way down to the end of the pelvic area, and then down each arm to the side, and peels the body open. And then the trusty old bone saw comes out again and it makes the cut down to the sternum, etc. But let me back up and digress. On this young lady, she was 9 months pregnant, right? So I had never been to an autopsy on a woman that was this pregnant before. And so he's making the cut, and y'all, human fat is actually like a bright yellow, almost not orange, but between a bright yellow and an orange color. And this girl was really swollen up. And so when they cut her open, I mean, it's thick, thick, thick yellow color. And of course the blood, you know, drains out on the table, and they have drains on the table where it goes out. But so he cuts her open and gets to the chest, takes out the organs, different organs, and weighs them, et cetera. But not the heart yet. And he goes down, and I'll never forget when he made the incision through her abdomen, and he pulled out the baby, and it was in a fetal position naturally, and it had a full head of black hair and was fully developed. I mean, literally looked like an 8 or 9 pound baby, and was a baby boy. And he cut the umbilical, and he weighed the baby, and he did all that stuff with it. And just, that was by far the toughest autopsy that I had ever seen. And he continued to process the body and work through it. And then, like I said, they take out all the organs and they put them in the bag. But when he got to the heart, at this time, he said a few things as he's working. Most of the time, he'd work quiet. And, of course, his pants are down around his ankle by this time. But he's all into it. And he's weighing things. And he's talking to himself out loud. And he's doing a process of elimination. There's no gunshot wounds. There's no stab wounds. Her neck was not broken, so she wasn't choked to death. There was no petechial hemorrhaging in the eyes, which is caused whenever you choke somebody and the blood vessels in your eyes burst from the lack of oxygen. And so he's talking to himself. He's like, okay, y'all. He said, I don't know here. You know, we're doing a process elimination now. And in the end, when he got to the heart, he came back, and thank God, he said, well, here's your issue. And he cut it open, and it was thick blood clots, and he said, this is your cause of death, pulmonary embolism. And he said the worst thing they could ever do for a female is put her on bed rest. He said, I have disagreed with it for so many years, because this girl was so swollen, et cetera, and you put her on bed rest and she developed blood clots. What happened is, he traced it down to her legs. The blood clots broke loose and went to her heart and killed her. He said she probably didn't live 10 seconds after the clot hit her heart. And that's, you know, she probably tried to get up and that split second of pain. And that was what made her fall to the floor. So he said, that's it. And the cause of death is pulmonary embolism to the heart. But I was thankful. I was really, really thankful that it wasn't a murder. It wasn't a homicide. But the funeral worker, home worker, director, if you will, was in there and told him what it was. And he said, good. He said, the family's here. You want to come talk to him? And so I did. And I told him, I said, listen, she died from pulmonary embolism. And I said it was quick and painless. And this funeral director says, and I'll never forget this, told the parents and the young man that was standing there, he said, okay, y'all, as far as the funeral goes, he said, do you want the baby buried with the mother? Like, we can do an open casket and put the baby in the mama's arms and bury them together. And I was like, fuck, I'm out of here. And I didn't need to hear that. So I excused myself and left, and I went back. And to finish up the autopsy, he sews everything back up, the middle of the body, and actually puts the top of the skull back on and puts the face back over the skull, pulls it tight, does some stitching in the back. And that's how they are able to present the body as an open casket at the funeral. Of course, the funeral home people do the makeup and all that, but I had had some requests to do, actually several requests to do an episode where an autopsy was involved and to explain the autopsy process. So I just did it, and you heard the roughest one I ever saw. I'm still thankful to this day for that family and that girl and that baby that it wasn't a homicide. And I hope you enjoyed this episode of Real Life, Real Crime, the podcast. It's your bonus episode for being a patron member, and I appreciate you. If it was too much, or y'all don't want me any more autopsy episodes, which most of the homicides, I will do the autopsies in them. But if it was too much, let me know. If you liked it, let me know. Either way, we appreciate you, and I thank you for being a patron member. And until next time, I'm Woody Overton, your host of Real Life, Real Crime, the podcast. Thanks.
Credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get half gallons of delicious Kroger milk for $1.29 each. Then get flavorful Tyson Natural Boneless Chicken Breasts for $2.49 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.